These questions are going to be more, I guess, personal, and then we'll go towards theological, and then we'll go towards serving. Kevin, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
First question to Kevin, how's the baby?
Oh, the baby. Which one? The one that's in the world right now?
Or? Good question. I guess both. Let's do both, yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you guys know. Well, Melissa is expecting baby number 2 end of April, but I guess I'll talk about baby number 1, Mia. She just turned 1 in February, and she is close to walking, but she's still, I guess, kind of crawling and standing up, and there's like this toy that she rolls around, kind of like a lawnmower, and it helps her kind of walk. But it's really cool. I feel like every day she gets a little bit more alert, awake. Like when she was first born, she's kind of like an alien. Like her hands would kind of go like that, just to like, she's like feeling out like what her body does. But now she can kind of, you know, say no and like shake her head. So yeah, it's been really cool. I try to cherish each time I have with her, because I know it passes by really, really quick already. Baby number 2, we are at, I think babies are born at week 39-ish, something like that. But we're at week 32 or something. So we're like 6 weeks away, which feels kind of scary. And yeah, I think it's, I'm kind of nervous to have a boy. I think I got so used to having a girl, and it was like really fun, but a little nervous to have a boy. So
congrats,
yeah,
man. Yeah,
that's good. How they're doing.
Good. Okay, this one's more personal. Who's your favorite Christian artist?
Oh, artist. It's like, it'd be like a musician or like an
actor. Yeah, I guess it's open, yeah. It's open to interpretation.
Dang, that's a hard one. Well, I still go with music because even though I'm not like super huge into music, but this is kind of funny. On the FCBC Wall on YouTube page, they have like COVID playlists, like the worship playlist that they recorded during COVID. And I sometimes listen to that. It's like pretty relaxing. There was like this period of time when they did all these, not covers, but they had like a whole bunch of people kind of sing from FCBC and they edited it all together. That was pretty cool. Artists though. Yeah, I'm not the most cultured in, like, whether secular or Christian. I just listen to whatever I find. But I'm trying to think of, like, a movie or TV series that is also kind of cool or, like, there's a Christian artist behind that. But I don't know. I listen to podcasts that are Christian. I find them pretty interesting. I think sometimes it's... yeah, I think Carrie Newhoff has a podcast that talks about, like, I think the last... podcast was like how to avoid burnout in ministry, so I'm really interested in like what other pastors and leaders have to say about that. But yeah, I guess yeah, that's what I would say to that. I'm
nice.
Like two.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Okay, here's a personal one. Okay, what things are different from teenage years than adult years? You can say that in your life, or I guess you could say in general. Mm-hmm. And then where or are your biggest struggles and tips?
Okay. This is me kind of asking you guys to be a little more interactive, but give me a thumbs up if you like your teenage years, meh, or like thumbs down. What would you guys say? Oh. Wow, okay, it's kind of mid, huh? Yeah, I would say I felt like my... freshman year, it started off like this. Like, I felt like I was on top of the world. Like, everything was new. And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. Hey, guys. And I think the reason I thought that was because I feel like your teenage years, I guess you make the most mistakes. Maybe it could be college, but I feel like in your teenage years, I tend to make the most mistakes. And that's why I felt like more like, low in life or more like, oh, I just can't wait to get out of high school. But I will say, I think church was always pretty steadily consistent. I think church was always like that home or haven that I could hang out with. Because I think at school, socially, it was difficult probably around junior year because I basically walked away from my friend group. I couldn't really join what they were doing because we all grew up at the same Christian school, but throughout high school, they started to get more into like drinking and drugs on the weekends, and that's all they ever talked about. And so when I was at school, eating my lunch. It's like, well, I wasn't there on the weekend. You guys didn't invite me. Not that I wanted to be there, but like, what is there to talk about? And so I just felt that I needed to make a major friend break or walk away from my friends. And so last year and a half in high school, I think I was happy to leave school during lunch because I could just do my own thing, but it also made it feel more lonely. So that's why church was really like that haven where I could, not that I was super like on fire for the Lord, but at least it was that place where I could call home. So tips, yeah, I feel like friends are a huge part of high school. Like if it feels like both worlds, going to school and going to church, your friends really have a huge impact on who you are. And sometimes you do have to distance yourself from certain friends, but still love them and reach out to them. But if you know they're a negative influence on your life, you do have to take steps to surround yourself with the right people. So I would say that's what really helped me. And college is nice where you do have, there's a little more freedom to choose like who you can live with if you dorm or how you arrange your classes. So college was kind of, it did help in that way. So I'll probably, that's what I'd say about high school.
Yeah.
Tips.
Yeah. Your testimony is, I think, is pretty powerful. That section of it, you know, where you kind of went away from your friend group. I remember that specifically.
Oh, yeah, good memory.
Yeah, I think it's a strong point. Okay, this one's a little bit personal, but then also does involve church. I guess you can say, how long were you at FCBC Walnut?
Yes.
Why don't you give your like story in like a nutshell about how you got here?
Okay, nutshell. Well, I was in college. You guys know APU, Azusa Pacific University. It's only like 15 minutes north of here. But I didn't really, my first 2 years of college, I kind of bounced between going home to Found Valley, which was my home church, or kind of sleeping in because I was really tired. But my junior year, I just knew I needed to be at a church. One, because I saw my other friends at other colleges like UCSD, my best friend went there, and he really grew in his faith at being committed to a church, and I just realized I needed that. And so around that time, I was feeling a tug towards ministry. So I knew I needed a church to be at, but also to serve at. And so I knew, hey, FCBC Walnut, I know they're like the sister church of FCBC Found Valley. I actually played in a church basketball tournament in eighth grade, so I knew it existed. I'm like, oh, why don't I just go here? So I think I didn't really commit until it was 2013 Turf Winter Retreat. So that's when I basically committed to going to Walnut as a college student, which, time really does fly by. And the year after my senior year of college, I was able to serve in GAP. Do you guys remember what GAP stands for?
God's Anointed People.
Yeah, God's Anointed People. It was our former junior high youth group. But then now it combined to Unicoi, the merger. But that's where my former youth pastor, Eugene and Matt, and then our college and young adult, John Cito, I think they really kind of gave me a chance because I was just this random kid who showed up to to Walnut, and they gave me a chance to serve. And after I graduated college, I went to seminary, Talbot School of Theology, did that for 4 years while interning here, and then I was hired in 2018. I have so many, I think, core memories, really. I feel like FCBC Walnut was almost, like college was hard in its own time. I still had loneliness in college, but I felt like church really was where I found my family and where I could serve and find like a true home. So I really enjoyed just being here, and it's just crazy how much time has passed. So that's kind of a nutshell.
Yeah. Okay, next question. I think talking about church planting, what called you to move churches, or I guess to start planting? I think that's what this one is about.
Yeah, I don't, this doesn't happen a lot in life. Sometimes it does, but have you guys ever been in like a major life decision? You have to make like a choice. Some say yes, some say no. When that happens for me, like it's really, really hard to know what to do. Like it takes everything for me to process that. But the first one was ministry, and that was like a huge major one. But for church planting, I would say it happened, I'd say actually Vanessa was more open to church planting before I was. So even a couple of years before I guess publicly announced it, like when they were floating the idea in church, she's like, oh, would you be open to that? I'm like, no, not really. Like, I think I'm a youth for life type of guy. Like my youth pastor, which you guys heard 2 years ago at youth retreat, Stephen Lee, he's still a youth pastor there. And I always felt inspired that I don't want to be someone who, I don't want there to be a youth ministry that just has a revolving door of youth pastors. So I always wanted to be at one place for a very long time. So I think that's why I was always very resistant to changing locations or places or ministries. But I think what even changed my heart to be open with it was, I think, 2021. One of our students started a Christian club at Diamond Bar High School, a mission initiative. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, you should do that. So, oh, can you help me out with that? I'm like, but I, in my mind, like, I have so much other stuff to do. Like, do I really have time to, like, jump in and help out? But I figured, well, if my own student is walking out in faith and I say, oh, I'm too busy, like, you're on your own, like, that would just be so selfish or just so wrong for me to do that. So I said, okay, yeah, I'll come out to this. It was like an Easter park hangout. I went out to that, and it was cool. And their group basically needed guidance to get that thing off the ground, like leadership training, things like that. And so that's when another organization, Decision Point, they basically work with Christian clubs, so they trained me to work with the Diamond Bar Christian Club. And what I found was that there are so many people at Diamond Bar, or just anywhere, that were curious about Christianity, but they weren't necessarily closed off. They were open, and we would go witnessing like once a month, and I would literally pair up with another leader and just go up to students and say, hey, like, have you heard of Jesus? Have you heard of Christianity? And they would say no. And I said, you've never heard the gospel message before? And they said, no, I haven't. Like, and I asked them, can I explain that to you? And I just felt so much thrill that I felt like I was sharing the gospel with someone who's never heard it for the first time, and it was causing them to think. And I think there was joy knowing that just being in the community, something that I didn't really have much experience with at that time. So God is already growing my heart and Vanessa's heart in that. Because we kind of served at the same time. We'd show up to school and we saw like the ins and outs of starting a club for the first time, getting approval from USB or ASB, getting a teacher to like host us or use a classroom. So that part was really exciting to like get approval in those ways. So around the same time when our church was talking about, hey, like church plan, Pastor Robert was saying, I want to lead a Chinese congregation, but we need an English pastor. If I don't find anyone here, I'm literally going to go to like a seminary and ask who wants to like, you know, join with me. And I just thought, huh, I wonder if God would ever call me. And usually, you know, like intrusive thoughts, like you can usually maybe get it out of the way, but I just couldn't get this out of my mind. And it just kept getting a hold of my heart, and I just couldn't stop thinking about it, even though I didn't want to. And so I think I eventually told Vanessa, and I think eventually I just had to share with the pastoral staff, like, hey, I don't know if this is like where God's calling me, but I'm open to it. If you guys tell me, you know, Kevin, just stay in youth, hey, I'd be happy. I love being here. Like, I don't want to go anywhere, but if you sense there might be some potential here, like, can we start a conversation? And so that was January of 2022. And so since then, it's just been like a lot of, learning about church planting, gaining affirmation or, feedback from other people, and then, getting trained. So tomorrow I have like a church planting assessments retreat where they assess church planters to see if they're ready or not. And so it's just, yeah, I'm kind of in this place where I'm excited to move to the great city of Eastvale. Shout out to Eastvale residents right here. But I'm also, again, like super, like, it's super sad to like leave FCBC, a place where it's formed me to be like a man after God's own heart, I hope, and taught me like things about ministry, marriage, to follow the Lord. And it's going to be super bittersweet. So yeah, that's a kind of long story short.
Yeah. That was the next one, actually. How do you feel about church planting and leaving the church? I don't know if you want to elaborate that or...
I feel like there's so much to do right now that it's almost hard to pause, but I feel like maybe in the summer I'll probably break down and cry because all just the emotions will come out. But it's, I would say processing grief, it's different for everybody. For me, I want to have the space to process what it means to leave a church that I love, leave you guys, the people that I love. But part of me feels like there's so much to do. I really need time to just let things slow down and see what the Lord is doing. And I think I think the closer it gets to the time to leave, like, the more I'll kind of feel that emotion. Like, do you guys watch The Office at all? Have you guys seen it? You guys remember when Michael Scott leaves The Office? Do you know, like, what he does? Like, he doesn't tell his employees because he doesn't want it to make a big deal. He just... Well, Jim eventually finds out. And then Pam, like, rushes him at the airport and, like, has these moments of goodbye. But there's part of me that kind of, like, I don't always want to talk about it because I know it can be hurtful or it's, like, a sad topic to talk about. So I don't always talk about it all the time. So I'm kind of, like, towing that balance about how to share updates, excitements, but also to be sensitive with that. But, so I feel like that's something I haven't really fully gone through. Like, what does it mean to leave a church that's been home for the past 10 years? But I feel in the summer, it'll just, maybe the floodgates will just open and I'll start crying.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
maybe I can push it a little bit further.
Oh.
Like, how, what do you feel like you've left for the youth ministry here? Maybe like talking about your legacy almost, but like, what do you think?
Think about the die.
What do you wish? Like, yeah, you think you recorded on here? You know, now that you're moving
on,
you're gonna see it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but like, what?
Oh,
do you,
man.
Yeah, or maybe what do you hope that?
Man, you know, I hope that I've been able to leave an impact, of what it means to be a part of a real community that's anchored in God, His Word, and His people, because. Growing up, I just wanted to have fun. Like, I just wanted to have fun with friends. I didn't care about grades. I think I got a D my first freshman year in science class. I had to take adult school to make it up, so that's the type of student I was. So I just wanted to have fun with my friends, and I thought that was a non-spiritual thing. But I think I eventually realized, well, friendships can be very, very spiritual. There's something about the desire for me to have friends that I think I hope that I was able to pass on that... I think the joy in the Christian life, it's not like reading the Bible on your own, but it's reading the Bible and living out the faith with one another in the local church. And I think that's been my greatest joys at FCBC, that there were so many nights after Unicoi, like my friends like Nathan, Ryan, we'd go over, sleep over at his house, and we just talk about ministry, the students, if there was any like difficult cases, but also like the people we had crushes on, the things we talk about the future. And that was just what life was all about. Like, when we live life with one another, we share our burdens, our sins, our joys, and we look to Scripture and to Jesus to do all that. I really hope that that's what I've been blessed most about, the church here. But I think just working with the students, with you guys in a small group, I always try to foster that atmosphere where this can be a place not just to show up on Fridays and Sundays, but a place where these people are your family, where you can... really feel close with one another, to confess sin, to encourage with Scripture, and to just enjoy the life God's given to us. And I think that's something that has been wired in my heart since an early age, but now I just see it like, let's use the friendships in our life to follow Jesus closer and to experience what the life of seeking His kingdom together. So I hope that's something I've been able to leave behind.
Yeah, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that then. This is a... hardcore question. What exactly is Christianity?
Okay. Getting theological now.
Yeah, we're moving towards more theological stuff, I guess.
Well, you guys know me. I'm very simple. Hopefully not simple-minded. but I guess I would define Christianity as... it's centered around the teachings of Jesus for eternal life, which is the gospel, that He died on the cross for our sins in our place, so that if we trust in Him... and repent, that we could be with Him and experience life, joy, and forgiveness. And that's different from other religions or belief systems, which Jesus is not the center of the Savior. Even for like Judaism, they believe in the Old Testament, but they don't believe Jesus is Savior. So I think Christianity, if you look at the word Christ, that's at the center of what we believe in. So it's not just a set of rules, but it's a person, a real person that we're following. And that's what makes Christianity distinctly distinct. I don't know if I said that. But real, and that we're following a real person. And the book, the Bible, is a living book that changes us. So, I would say that's what makes Christianity different. That's how I would define it.
Why are Christians so enthusiastic?
Oh, just in general?
That's what it says. That's like the next question. What is Christianity? Why are Christians so enthusiastic?
I would say they're not always enthusiastic, but they should be the people who have the most joy in the world, because if Christians are the ones who can actually know God, they know that eternal life is promised to them, that there's inheritance of the kingdom, that this life is not all there is. Yeah, Christians should be the ones who have the most joy. But I also think Christians can definitely lament and experience some of the most severe suffering, because if you're following Jesus in this world, the Bible promises suffering and persecution in one form or another. And if you look at the book of Psalms, it's basically a hymn book for God's people to express their emotions to God. The Psalms covers a whole range of human emotion, like anger, joy, almost rage, desperation, everything that the human emotion can express, you see that in the Psalms. So I think the Christian, yeah, you should have joy, but there's also every other emotion that we have, sadness, loneliness, depression, loneliness, and hopes and desires. So I would say that's one part of the solution or description, but there's many more emotions the Christian goes through.
Got a couple of theological questions here. What is the purpose of fasting? Should Christians fast? When and how should Christians fast?
Dang, I think, did you preach on this a couple?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, that's me. Okay, well, I would say fasting is a spiritual discipline, meaning something that you do to grow closer to God. Like reading the Bible is a spiritual discipline. Praying is a spiritual discipline. I would say fasting, it is commanded, because in the Bible it says when you fast, not if you fast. Now, I'm not saying if you don't fast, like you're in sin. Like, I don't think I've fasted since I think high school, when it was like a 40-hour famine kind of challenge to fast, but I don't really remember what it was for. I haven't fasted in years, so I would say it's a good, I guess if you go to the gym and there's an exercise that's really, really good, but it's you don't always get around to it, maybe it's something like that, where, yeah, it's great to do, but it's not like God's wrath is upon you if you don't do it. How would you do it? Well, I think the purpose is not health reasons. Like, I shouldn't fast to lose weight. In that sense, I mean, you can, but I think a spiritual fast is you fast in order to seek the Lord, so that when you get hungry and it's lunchtime, instead of turning to food to satisfy your hunger, you turn to God to satisfy that internal spiritual, I guess, desire. Some people fast when there's a big decision. Like if you don't know what to do and you need the Lord's guidance, some people fast, and sometimes they ask a friend, hey, can you fast with me, or you can pray for me for the next, I guess, 24-48 hours. Of course, they're still drinking water and surviving. They're not, like, you know, starving themselves, but I think it's a means of allowing our bodies and our minds to be so dependent on God even more than food. So it's not for health reasons, it's for spiritual reasons, seeking the Lord's guidance. So yeah, I think it can be a powerful means. So that's all I would say about fasting.
These might be related. How do you differentiate your own voice versus the Holy Spirit's voice? How can you tell the Holy Spirit is working in you? And how can you tell if God is opening, closing doors? So Holy Spirit, and then how do you know God is working in your life, it sounds like.
Doors.
Kind of complicated.
That's a great question. Have you guys ever gotten, like, weird or bad advice about finding God's will, like flipping a coin or something like that? No? Okay, then you guys are blessed. Sometimes I tend to, or other people, they tend to sometimes have weird ways of, like, I remember when I was a kid, it's like, God, if you want me to do this, can you move that shoe off the rack so I know that you're, like, speaking to me, or to show me that you're real? But sometimes that's kind of like, it's understandable, but it's not, I think, what scripture prescribes for us. So I would say, the Holy Spirit dwells in Christians. So if you're not a Christian, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you to give you that new desire to honor the Lord. But if you are a Christian, you have the promise of the Holy Spirit that helps you be sanctified, meaning to be more and more like Christ. So I would say, let's say I have a big decision, which college should I go to? Or that's more of a morally neutral question, but let's say, should I should I help my friend who asked for help on the test, like to share answers? Well, that's pretty easy because I think in Scripture it says, it outlines that we should be honest, to do not lie, do not help others steal, do not steal. So we kind of see that Scripture gives us guidelines in how to go about life. But what if it's like a morally neutral question, like which college should I go to? A Cal State or UC or community college? I'd say that does come down to more wisdom. So I would say talking to other maybe believers who are a bit older, mature in life, that have they gone through the situation they've gone through and what do they think through? I would say prayer is, you can even fast for this, fasting and seeking the Lord's decision in this. I personally like to journal. I think I have an online journal that I just type all my thoughts in. It helps me kind of categorize like how I'm thinking. And it's almost a prayer journal that I talk to God while I process everything. And yeah, I look to God's people, God's word and God's people. What is your small group, your counselor, and pastors, like what advice might they have to speak on a situation, whether it's college or something else? So yeah, so that's what I would say about that question.
We're going to move on to questions of church and serving now. So let's see. Okay, how can you tell what God's calling is for us, and how can we come to terms and obey that calling? This is the last section of these of questions,
okay.
By the way. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, a couple weeks ago in Unicoi, I did teach on calling, actually, and your future calling, yeah, maybe we don't know, but actually it's kind of easy to identify your calling right now in different ways. You're called as a student, or work if you work. You're called as a son or daughter, that's your calling. You're called as a sibling, a brother or sister. So we already know like what God has called us to. It's, do we even see that as a calling? I think a lot of us, we see my career is my calling. But no, actually, career is not our only calling. It's one of many callings. But I think that question is most probably asking, well, how do I know my future job or career? I really believe God has given all of you guys gifts and passions and desires to bless the world and serve your neighbor. And sometimes you just have to serve and volunteer and see what you're good at and what you're not good at. I think that's really, like when I made that step to step into ministry, I didn't know if I could be a pastor. I don't know if I could even like it or if I would enjoy the task. But my first step was, I'll take a couple classes, ministry classes. I'll see if I like the content. I'll serve in a ministry at a church. I'll see if I like doing this. And that gives you a lot of, I guess, evidence to see if you like certain things or not. And if you don't, well, you can switch majors, switch careers. Yeah, I would say in high school, there was nothing in my high school time that would have indicated that I would have been a pastor. So it's okay if you don't know what you want to do, but college is definitely that time to explore and try different things and see what you like. And maybe ask your friends, hey, what do you think I'm good at? What do you think that, not just skill-wise, but even personality too? Yeah, I think that's what I'd say.
What's your best skill other than teaching God's word?
That's like my best skill. I don't know if this is a skill, but it's very fun and it's very effortless for me to just organize a social. Again, I just like having fun. So I feel bad. I haven't done as much for the 12th grade guys. Sorry, Aiden and friends. But like to plan, okay, let's go on a hike. All right, well, we probably have to start at, meet at church at 9 a.m., get to the hike by 10 a.m., lunch at, it used to be Soup Plantation at like 12:30. That's very effortless for me. And I don't mind being there with you guys. I think the relational type of ministry, like going to a tennis game, going to a volleyball game, like that's really fun for me. I don't mind doing that. And I think that's something, I don't know if it's a skill, but I think God's just wired me relationally that that doesn't burn me out. It's really fun for me. So yeah, I guess that's what I would say.
Last two questions. What are some unexpected ways you've been able to serve in the church? And then how do you find motivation to serve even when you don't feel like it?
Yeah. You know, the craziest thing that I never thought I'd be able to actually understand is AV. I didn't learn AV until COVID because I had to. Once we used the PC, or like when we met in the Gray Center, or formerly the Mac, I had to learn how to use AV, which, like, how do these wires work? Like, how do you turn on the speaker? It's so confusing. What's the password for this computer? But seeing, like, oh, everyone kind of has... It's not necessarily that hard. You just have to learn it and be, like, take notes if you don't understand something. So I guess that was kind of... Now it's kind of fun. Like, not that I know everything about AV, but I know how to turn on the sound system and everything. And sometimes when there's a need, if you just say, okay, if you're just open to saying yes, you never know, like, what you're able to catch on and to be able to grasp. Now, in terms of motivation, I would say if you're burnt out or really taking too much in life, like, you might have to scale back on certain things. I would say it's okay to take a break if you really need, if your spiritual relationship with God is suffering, but you're just trying to, you're burning out by, that you're not able to spend time with the Lord, but you're doing all this stuff for the Lord. I would say, yeah, it might be appropriate to maybe take a step back. Maybe I can still serve, but not as much, so that there's more margin in my life to actually be with the Lord. Because what's the point of doing all this stuff for God, but if I'm not even walking closely with God, well, we might forget why we serve in the first place. It's a way to serve God with our gifts, and to know that, yeah, it doesn't earn right standing, but it's a way to joyfully serve Him. I'm trying to think of a time of where I have felt burnt out or from serving. There is, and that's why I really love my Sabbath Mondays. I really try to do zero ministry as much as I can, and it just helps me. It's my reset button. I know it's hard in high school because you don't really have a weekly day off, but it could just be a couple hours on Sunday. Like, just do no work. Do what's joyful, to rest in the Lord, but also a hobby, like a hike, or something to just reset your soul. That's what really helps me to realize, like, to kind of take a break and to keep serving.
Yeah, thanks, Kev. That ends our official Q&A time, so cool. Let's give Kevin a round of applause.